first scripture this morning is taken from Romans 5, verses 1 through 5. It's a great scripture about peace and grace and understanding. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our next reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. This was spoken by Jesus while he was in the upper room with his disciples on the night before he was crucified. And he's speaking of the Holy Spirit. He spoke a good bit of that while he was in that final discourse with his disciples. So listen to the word of the Lord. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I say to you that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In our church calendar, today is Trinity Sunday, a day that we recognize and emphasize the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Three identities, one God. And for many, this can be very confusing and difficult to understand, and if you feel this way, you're not alone. All you need to do is read some theology books. And when theologians come across something that is difficult to understand, they make it all the more difficult to understand because they use big words that nobody knows what they mean, and they put it in there. I tried to look at some of this week, and my eyes just kind of glossed over, and my head started to hurt, and so I had to move back to keeping it simple. The word Trinity is not used in the Bible. It didn't come around until about 300 years later when the theologians were trying to figure out, how do you explain one God and explain that Jesus was both God and human, divine and human? And how do you explain the Holy Spirit that Jesus said would come? And so they came up with the Trinity. Now, just because it came 300 years later, the word, doesn't mean that the concept is not found in Scripture. In John chapter 1, the beginning of that gospel says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And you skip down a few verses, and it says, and the Word became flesh and lived among us, referring to Jesus. And then we have these passages that Jesus spoke in the upper room, talking about the Holy Spirit that would come, the Advocate, the one that would lead us into truth. So as I speak to you today, I don't want to talk so much about trying to define what the Trinity is, so much as to share with you some of the work of the Trinity that we see in the passages that we read today. And the John passage that talks about Jesus would send the Spirit to lead us into truth, to take the things that the Father has given to the Son, and now the Son gives to us through the Spirit. And then in the Roman passage, the two words that stood out to me of the work of the Trinity is peace and hope. For we have peace with God, peace with the Father, through the work of Jesus, in whom we are justified by faith, whom we are made right with God by faith. The Bible tells us that we were created to be in fellowship with God, and yet we chose our own way. We chose a path of sin. And this broke that relationship with God. But God loves us so much that he's pursued after us and sent his son Jesus, who died on the cross on our behalf, so that that peace, that relationship might be mended. And because that relationship has been mended, we receive that through faith. We receive the work, the redeeming work of Jesus through faith. And because we have received that, we have hope. But let me go back to the peace for just a second. Often, we think of that peace just with God, but that peace is also for an inner peace that we can have. How often have you laid awake at night worrying about a child or your spouse or your health or your job or your finances or who's going to be the next president? How often have you been overcome, overwhelmed with stress, with guilt, with regret, or with a poor self-image of I'm no good? When we talk about the peace of God, we talk about God being in control, and we don't have to worry about these things. We don't have to be overwhelmed by these things. We can offer them up to Christ, the one who has given us peace with God. And Jesus said, you know, come to me, all you who are weary and overburdened, and I'll give you rest. My yoke is easy, my burden's light. Come to me. He also said, peace I give to you. Not the peace that the world gives. I give you a true peace, an inner peace. Paul tells us to not worry about anything, but in everything with thanksgiving and prayer and supplication, make our requests known to God. And God will give us that peace that surpasses all understanding, that will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. So we can have peace. And when we have peace with God, we can have hope because we know that God wins in the end. We see the sin, we see the results of sin and the effects it's had on the world and among people. But we believe that God wins in the end. And so we have peace with that. We have hope with that. And then Paul tells us to boast in our suffering. I don't know about you, but that doesn't excite me. Boasting in my suffering. We try to do everything we can not to suffer. And Paul's almost saying, well, you should invite the suffering in because, well, you got hope in that. I don't think he's saying that. I think he's saying, hey, when suffering comes, and you know it will come, we will have hope. Because the suffering produces endurance. And the word there used for endurance implies overcoming an obstacle, actively working to overcome an obstacle. So it's not that we sit back and endure suffering with apathy or just sit back with laziness, but that we are actively working to overcome the suffering. And while doing so, this leads to character. And the word used here is a metal that is being purified in fire. The imperfections, the impurities are being burned out of the metal. And so God is the suffering that we experience, God is allowing us to actively overcome it. And in doing so, we are being purified. We are being made stronger and better, nearer to God. And because of this, we have hope. I like a definition I came across for hope. Hope is believing in spite of the evidence and then watching the evidence change. We can have hope when the suffering begins that God is going to use it to produce, to allow us to endure and to work through this, and so that we will have character, be purified. And then we have the hope that the love of God will be within us through the Holy Spirit. Let me share a story of my life, of how this has worked in my life once. Many of you are familiar with the book Toxic Charity that was written by Bob Lupton. Our mission committee read it. Well, Bob is a friend of mine. Bob and I were part of a church together in Atlanta, Georgia. And at one point, I was working part-time at the church and part-time with Bob's organization. And then Bob came up to me and said, I'd like for you to leave the church work and work full-time for this project I have. And he made certain promises about that. And so I did. And a few months later, it fell apart. And I felt like Bob didn't fulfill some of his promises that he'd made to me. And we had this rift. We were not getting along at all. And there was this broken relationship. And I needed to decide what was next in my life. Obviously, I had to find a job. But do I stick around in this neighborhood, this community, this church that I was a part of? Or do I leave in anger, in bitterness, and go find another place to live, another job, and try to find out what God is leading me to do? Or do I stay? Do I try to reconcile this relationship? Do I seek God's guidance, the Holy Spirit leading me into truth, and move, and so that when I move on from there, I don't take any bitterness, I don't take any anger, I don't take any resentment with me? Well, I chose to do the latter, but things were not easy. Things were falling apart there at the beginning. My grandmother, whom at that particular moment I was living with, died. I took a job working, let me share this first. The church I was at, the leadership of the church did not want me sharing what all was going on. I could talk in broad terms, but not specifics, because they were fearful that I would try to disrupt the church, which never would have been my intention. But I pretty much had to stay silent on all this suffering and pain and stuff I was going through. I think that was a bad decision on their part. But then I found I had a job putting decals on truck trailers. A job that demanded a history degree and a Master of Divinity. And then to top it all off, a couple of months into this job, we were storing decals at this garage we were working in, and it was a loft, and we put the decals up there that we'd be using, and I stepped into a place that was not supported and fell about 8 to 10 feet onto a concrete floor, fracturing my elbow, bruising my shoulder, my wrist, and my hip, deeply bruising them. And I was at the bottom. I was suffering, and I was not boasting at all. It was probably the lowest point in my life, but it was also the place where God was starting to work. Bob and I spent 6 months, a little over 6 months, I believe, reconciling our relationship, and those were hard meetings, and we had a person there that was kind of the mediator between us. Those were hard discussions. But we got through those to the point where Bob is my friend today. We have a good relationship. I was trying to decide, where was God leading me? And I decided to pursue ordination in the Presbyterian Church, because If you can get ordained in the Presbyterian Church, it has to be of God. There are too many hoops you got to jump through. God can slam that door shut real easily. And I made it through. Even the work putting decals on truck trailers was redemptive, because it was preparing me for my first call, which was to an inner city church in Philadelphia, where people had labor-intensive jobs that often were mindless jobs, just do the work. And I knew, I came from a place that they came from. So I'm able now to boast of that suffering, because I can see how God used that in my life. If you have a broken relationship and I tell you, I think you need to reconcile that relationship, I know what I speak. The triune God at work in our midst. The love of God the Father pouring that love upon us through Jesus Christ, who is our Redeemer. And the Holy Spirit that is our sustainer and our empowerer. So perhaps God wants to use your suffering in a redemptive way in other people's lives. We need to be open to the leading of the Spirit, as that Spirit leads us into truth, as that Spirit fills us with hope of the love that God has for us. So let us be seeking God out, this triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, however you want to describe the Trinity. That Trinity is there for us, redeeming, sustaining, and building us up, giving us a new creation in life. Let us pray. Lord, do be at work in us. May we experience the love of God. May we experience the redemption that we have in Christ. May we experience the empowerment and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in us, so that we might have your peace, a peace that surpasses all understanding, and that we might have hope, hope that sees us through suffering and pain, hard times. A hope that allows us to see your love at work in our lives. Well, we pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.